This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right, so last night in Kansas City, was that the Chargers charging, or was that a really good team that got beat by another good team and their quarterback just got banged at the worst possible time?
If you were to pull a stat sheet from that game and just not have the score on it, okay, just hand somebody the stat sheet, the Chargers are ahead in everything. More passing yards, more trips to the red zone, more first downs, more everything. And it just seems like they can't get out of their own way. They had that game.
They did.
Matter of fact, I saw, they give that percentage thing, your percentage chance of winning. Before they hiked the ball in the pick six, the Chargers had a 74% chance of winning that game. Once the guy returned it the other way, it flipped to 70% Kansas City. That's how big of a play that was. You can't do it. Now, let me ask you guys this. Gerald Everett, who used to play for the Rams and now is playing for the Chargers. I'm sure you guys have seen this tape. He wanted to come out.
Emily was talking about this.
He's like, he begged out, and his team said, no, we're going no huddle. We don't want to let them substitute, and if you come out, they can substitute, so stay out there. Then he kind of half-assed his route, and it turned into a pick six. Is that on the Chargers, or is that on Everett?
I think it's on Everett.
I do, too.
I think it's on Everett. That if you're out there, you got to run the right route. I mean, everybody's been out there, right? It's not like he was the only one that was in this hurry-up offense. I know that he was being asked to do a lot, but if you're out there, you got to perform. It's professional sports. It's on him.
I'm surprised. It is on Everett. I'm just surprised they went to him. You know, if you have a guy that's asking,
I don't think Justin Herbert knew he asked to come out. I think Justin Herbert
was hurt or just tired?
Tired.
He was tired.
He was asking for a blow.
It's not a good reason.
Yeah,
it's not a good reason.
I mean, look, it's just a professionalism. You might be gassed, but you just got to find a different gear.
Well, and you can't do that. You can't mail it in on the route and
that's the game.
Flip the game. Right.
Well, to your point, Herbert's just, he's snapping the ball. He's looking at what he's looking at. It's like, I got my guy open. I know he's going to run this route. I'm going to put the ball in the right spot. Yeah. And we just lost the game.
So there's certain franchises that find ways to win games like that and find games to lose games.
What do you guys think that is? Because I couldn't agree more.
Right?
Well, to your point, did you guys see this stat? This is stunning. When Patrick Mahomes falls behind by 10 or more points in the first half in his career, 55% of the time he comes back to win.
I'm surprised it's not higher.
The rest of the league, 15.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's why he kept saying, he said even when the Chargers went up 10.
Even when the Chargers were driving for that, with the play we're talking about, when they're on the 1 yard line, getting ready to punch it in, getting ready to go ahead by 7 points, even at that moment, I'm like, they're giving Mahomes too much time. That he's, go back to the playoff game last year against Buffalo. He's the scariest guy in the league. He's the scariest guy in the league with, if you give him a minute or so to score, he's going to find a way to do it. That even though the Chargers played great, Herbert was great, everything that the Chargers did other than, get him hurt, felt like an incredible effort. And I always thought the Chiefs were going to win that game. Even though they dominated the statistics sheet, I thought the Chiefs would win because they got Patrick Mahomes.
The play calling near the goal line in the red zone for the Chargers seemed off to me in this sense. I think you got to have Austin Ekeler on the field. He wasn't always on the field in their red zone situations, and if he's not out there, you don't have to account for him. Now, Herbert can throw to anybody, and he proved he threw to some fullback that caught 2 touchdowns his whole college career. He's got two in two weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
So Herbert, I think, is really good and on his way to the Pro Bowl every year. But this reminds me of the time when USC lost the national championship game
to
Texas.
Wasn't on the field.
You can't have Reggie Bush not on the field on fourth and one.
Yep. Just to be a threat.
If you send him in motion and nobody goes with him, it's a touchdown and you win the game. If you take two safeties or a corner with them, it opens it up for Lendale White. And I've asked Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian about that, who were calling plays that year. They go, that play worked all year. Every year it was like the first time it didn't work. It still doesn't answer my question.
Right.
If you put Reggie Bush out there, you have to account for him. And I thought Austin Ekeler not being on the field late in some of those situations was off.
Ramona, go back to something you said a second ago. You've covered sports for a long time. What is it about certain teams that always seem to in the moment.
Yeah,
right?
In the moment.
In the moment, it doesn't happen for
and
the
it feels
other
like
teams.
The team too, because it's like they'll have different players. Like you'll have one guy who will be on a team that tends to lose those games, and then he'll switch franchises and he'll go to a different team that tends to win those games, and then they start winning. Like it's just how does that happen?
What is it?
I think it's part of me says it's karma. Part of me says it's confirmation bias. Like when you're on those teams that tend to lose those, you sort of believe that hype about you and you expect bad things to happen. You expect, like you see yourself as the underdog and so you're not surprised when something goes wrong versus when you carry yourself like the favorite, you're not surprised when things go right. You have an expectation. It's sort of being an optimist or a pessimist.
I think there's something to that. I think there's this – players who have found ways to just as an example, they got over the hump.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, so I've done it. Yeah, yeah, I could do that again. Yeah. And guys who haven't, it's like, here it goes all over again. And you're probably thinking that in the fourth quarter, well, and there's still 8 minutes left on the clock.
The NBA equivalent of this is the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, you look at them on paper, and they're great. And like last night, you look at the Chargers on paper, and they're great. And a couple of years ago in the bubble, the Clippers just had everything set up for them.
Yep.
They had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George healthy. They were playing Denver. They were up 3-1. Yeah, they didn't have to travel. And they let the Nuggets get back in the series. And you figure, okay, it's coming down to a game seven. This is when Kawhi and Paul George will show up. Paul George hits the side of the backboard. Kawhi disappears in the fourth quarter. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic just bury him and knock him out. And then all these people are on my timeline saying, Clipper's going to clip. Until they get over that hump, until they prove that they can, what John Wooden used to define as competitive greatness, it's one of the cornerstones of his pyramid of success. And he described it as being at your best when your best is needed.
Sean McVay says that repeatedly. Be at your best when your best is required. That's kind of his mantra that you over and over again.
We had Sean, you know, we talked to him every week. He got that from Wooden.
Yeah, it's makes sense, but here's I want to go back to what you said again
because there's something to it, right?
I don't know if this is a theory and like maybe it's just anecdotal, but I really believe that your ability to close the show, we're going to find out which of these two guys you are very early. If you have success early, long before Derek Jeter became Derek Jeter, he had some success in some pretty big moments. And now when I come up the next time, I know I've done this. I'm a little bit more relaxed. I've got a better chance of doing it again. Whereas if you're Alex Rodriguez, who's probably just in a vacuum a better player than Derek Jeter, you go up those first couple of times and it doesn't work. So the next time you come up, you're thinking, hey, maybe why can't I get it done? And both of those things build on themselves. But what doesn't make sense is switch those guys, put them in different places, and they'll both go the other way again.
Exactly.
It's a weird deal.
Like like you start off and you're on, let's pick a team that doesn't win, like the Hawks or something, or you're on the Clippers, or you're on the
Sacramento Kings.
The Angels.
And then you switch and you're on the Warriors, and all of a sudden you start winning. Like, how does that, it's not
and the opposite's true.
Here's why. Because every once in a while, you will run into somebody, and this is what Jeannie Buss talks about is, you know, she's had a few of them in her career. She had Magic Johnson. She had Kobe Bryant. You look at Michael Jordan. You look at Tiger Woods. These people, Derek Jeter, as you cited, Trav, these people's statistics go up in the postseason. Rajon Rondo go up in the postseason. They are better in the postseason than they are in the regular season. Most people go the other way. Because you're facing the other team's best pitchers, the high leverage moments, there's more pressure on you. Every once in a while, if you can find a guy who can perform when the stage is the biggest, that's, you know, like the knock on Mike Trout is he's never been to the playoffs, but the one time he went 1-for-12.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Bonds in the playoffs was not good.
Until he was.
Yeah,
right,
1 year.
Against the Angels, he went
1 year.
Crazy. But the Trout one's interesting to me because he was in the beginning of his career. He was a great player, but he was still fairly green. And 12 at-bats in a baseball, that's nothing.
Okay, right? I have an idea, Trav. When I'm trying to think about what it is that, like, when you're in a different situation, you become a different person or a different player or a different whatever, you tend to win. I remember when I first got to ESPN, I had been at the Daily News, and I was like, I had the upstart mentality. Like, we were the young, we were the paper that's trying to break a story that can get me on ESPN, right?
Right.
On the bottom line. Like, we're the underdog, okay? And when I got to ESPN, I realized, oh no, now I'm the quote unquote proverbial man. Like I'm the, you know, like I'm the one that where I have to
supposed
be
to do those
perfect.
Things.
I'm supposed to do that. It's expected of me. And I remember one of our first big things was Pete Carroll left, and the USC was doing a coaching search, and I had some sourcing at USC, but not really. But we were ESPN LA, and this was like our first month in business. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm in the big leagues now. Like, I got to step up here. I got to figure out how to, like, break something or do something. And so I kind of did a bit, you know, a little spycraft. Like, I can't talk about how I got these numbers or something or how I did stuff. But I started doing things that I never used to do back when I was the upstart, because I had this pressure of, like, I'm at
changed.
ESPN now. Yeah. Like, I gotta live up to this.
Right. And
it, maybe that's it.
But you need some luck too. One of my
early luck.
One of my favorite stories about this is I was working in Beaumont, Texas. It's my second TV job.
Condolences.
And the Cowboys in Texas are huge statewide. When the Cowboys go on like Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, mm-hmm. in the whole state, even in the parts of the state that you wouldn't think, like in Houston, they do an 80 share.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Jesus.
So the biggest story in the history of Texas sports is when Bum Bright, the owner of the Cowboys, decided to sell the team. And nobody had ever heard of Jerry Jones. But then word started to trickle down that Jerry Jones, this oil man from Arkansas, was going to buy it. And mm-hmm. more importantly, if he got it, he was going to fire Tom Landry, mm-hmm. who was like God down there. And it became the biggest story in the history of Texas sports.
Yeah.
And my news director called me, and I'm like 400 miles away, south of Dallas. And he goes, go to Dallas right now. Go. We're going to do live shots until this story breaks. Go. WFAA, the ABC affiliate in Dallas, is waiting for you. You can do all your live shots from there. And I walk in, and literally everybody is working. Like, they've brought everybody in for the desk. And you guys know who Ivan Maisel is?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, yep. So Ivan Maisel is working for the Dallas Morning News. And he told me a story once that his boss calls and goes, everybody come in right now. So every sports writer on staff, and Ramona, you've been on a lot of these staffs. Yeah. There's probably 40 people. They bring them all in. They said, this is the biggest story in the history of the state. Nobody leaves until we break this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody worked the phones, and he goes, we're assigning three people to the assignment desk at all times. If I hear the phone ring twice, you're fired. Pick this phone up because we don't know when we're going to get a tip. We don't know when we're going to do anything. And they're all, the TV stations, everybody's trying to figure this out. Where's Jerry Jones? Who is he? Is he really going to fire Landry? Blah, blah, blah. And Ivan has been working like 14-hour day.
Yeah.
And he's calling all his sources. Oh, everybody's calling all their sources. Where is this guy? Where can we find him? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. And finally, one of his bosses walks in and goes, when's the last time you ate? And he goes, I don't know, like 14 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
He goes, go take an hour. And so he calls his girlfriend and he goes, hey, meet me around the corner at the Mexican restaurant. They're going to let me have an hour to go eat, and then I got to come right back.
Yeah.
They go into the restaurant, and Ivan walks in. He's waiting to meet his girlfriend in the bar, and he looks in the back corner, and there's Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson with their wives drinking margaritas.
Amazing.
And Ivan goes, oh, my God. And he immediately goes, this is before cell phones, he immediately goes to a payphone. He calls the desk, and he said, they're here. They're 5 minutes. They're sitting.
Wow.
And they send a photographer over there, and Ivan walks up to him and goes, Mr. Jones, my name's Ivan Maisel. This is my photographer, Travis. Do you mind if we get a picture? And at this point, they're a few drinks in. And Jerry Jones says, sure! And they both raise
Amazing.
A glass, and that's the cover,
Amazing.
The front page of the Dallas Morning News the next day. New sheriff in town. Landry out, Jimmy Johnson in, with a picture of the four of them holding margaritas.
Just by good luck.
By complete happenstance. And it reminded me of the time that Wooden, again, you can tell I worship at the Church of John Wooden, said, you know, were they lucky? And Wooden described luck as where preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They had done everything right. They brought everybody in. They had everybody on standby. Then they got lucky. But they don't have everybody on the desk. They don't have everybody there. They're not waiting to pounce. None of that happens. And so you got to, you know, you can tell, you can say people are lucky, But chances are there's always a story like that.
Yeah.
The Chargers need to find their Ivan Maisel.
They do.
My
they need some luck.
From that is they need to
they
get
need some luck.
They need to catch a break along the way. Supercross talk is done. Mason and Ireland is next. Slee and I'll see you on Monday morning.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, people, it's your friends, Momo and John, Mason and Ireland.
Hi,
with
friends.
You.
And Jorge and Mace and Greg.
I'm
now,
not Mace.
Jorge, I've got to ask you a question right out of the gate. So we were having that we were having the discussion about what my order would be at a Mexican restaurant. And Tim from the OC tweets, did Ireland just say, I want hard shell tacos, not soft taco crap? You just became public enemy number one for all Hispanic people.
Nah.
Is that true?
No.
Like, you guys don't like hard shell?
I look, there's different ways of making it. The way I think hard shell is rolled up, like taquitos.
Right. Love them.
That's
they're great.
No, you're not. No.
But that's a thing? Like, all Hispanic people like soft shell? Like,
no.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Tim is
hard shell.
Tim is off. Okay.
You're tripping, Tim.
I will say this. I think that I have learned in my time living in Los Angeles that not all the shells of tacos are made equally. Like, if you really care about a great taco, you got to make them fresh. Mm-hmm. You got to make your own corn tortillas, or you got to make your own flour tortillas.
Yeah, the handmade tortillas, like aguisados.
Yeah, if you get the handmade tortillas, they're so much better.
Way better.
If you get the processed ones, like the other day I ordered something on Postmates, I was just trying a new taqueria, and I could tell like those were not handmade. Mm. And it was just like, it was like rubbery and hard, and I was like,
I remember when it's not. When I first got a job at KCAL, the assignment desk told me, do you like Mexican food? And I said, yeah, I love it. And they said, okay, there's a few of the photographers here who know all the great hole-in-the-wall joints.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, for the first few weeks, I'm going to set you out there. So shout out Jody Mena. Shout out Steve Medina for taking me to all those great hole-in-the-wall Mexican joints.
Thank you for the Mexican talk. Mexican Independence Day. Gracias.
Is it? That was by accident. Yeah. All right. Salute.
Is that why the Canelo fight is now?
Exactly.
So I learned this from Nevin that there's always a great fight on Cinco de Mayo, and there's always a great fight on Mexican Independence Day.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why there's usually a great fight in May and a great fight in September.
So I assume we all watched the game last night. Yep. I was expecting a close game. We got it. I really, really hope we don't have any update on Justin Herbert's ribs.
Know.
It did not look good. It looked to me like he had broken ribs.
It looked like it, yeah. He looked pretty hurt.
After the game, Brandon Staley said, we won't know more until tomorrow or the next day, but he's pretty tough. We'll see. And they do have 10 days for their next game. Their next game is against Jacksonville. They probably could get away with benching Herbert. But if he's got broken ribs, then he's probably out for a while. But we'll see. I hope he's not. You know, he's such a fun player to watch, and they played great. The Chargers played great, except for that one play.
Yep.
The pick six absolutely killed them, especially on the road. And they were dominating, and they were about to go up seven late, and in one play,
was your streaming, by the way? How was everybody's Amazon Prime?
So I texted you.
Yeah.
Did you not know the game was on Channel 11?
I did not know that, but I also wanted to watch Amazon Prime. Like, I wanted to hear Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. and I wanted to get the streaming experience. And I also, we all know that my Wi-Fi apparently sucks at my house.
Yes.
As many times you have had to get
in your car and drive to your mom and dad's house when you do this show.
So
when are you going
to
get in front of that? Why don't you call Isaac and Roy and those guys at Mirror?
I need to figure this out.
No, so, those guys at Mirror who gave you your TV
will
come in and upgrade your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I got to do it because I have Spectrum Internet. And I've had them come out several times.
So do I.
And they're always like, no, it looks good. And I'm like, well, it doesn't act good. You know? So, like, every time I come out, they go, oh, just reset your router. And something's off, okay? So I think that the streaming issue is probably mine because everybody else I know who is talking to.
Not true. Yeah, okay. There's been a lot of response. As a matter of fact, I was monitoring because one of the things I wanted to talk about was how Amazon Prime did in their first NFL telecast. I thought it was good. There are a couple of things, Greg, that happened that I can tell you just for somebody who spends a lot of time traveling with TV people. Their audio mix was off. In other words, it was a super loud building.
Oh.
And they suppressed the crowd noise so you would clearly hear Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And they need to tweak that because that was very loud and it didn't sound like it. It sounded
so. Mine was the audio was fine. I always heard what was going on in the play, but a lot of times the video would freeze. So like it would be the picture would be
That's your internet.
Yeah, that's probably me, right?
Because I stream stuff every night.
Yeah.
Last night I streamed stuff for I streamed a whole movie and it was fine. It's you got to upgrade your internet.
Yeah.
I thought overall. Amazon did a really good job for a first game.
Yeah.
I like Michaels and Herbstreit. I like their pregame show.
Too.
I like Carissa. I think Tony Gonzalez and Richard Sherman. Kaylee Hartung's great.
Yeah.
And she actually left sports, went to news. They pulled her back out of news and threw her in there. And she looks like she's been doing it forever.
Can I say that I'm disappointed in Herbstreit and Michaels?
Why?
Because I thought they were just kind of there. They didn't add any impact to the game whatsoever. I thought that they just, I actually forgot they were there a lot of the times and just paid attention to the game. They didn't do anything for me that was like, oh my God, it's Herbstreit and Michaels. They spent a lot of money on two guys that are good. Don't get me wrong. They're great, but they just didn't do anything for me. I forgot.
I thought you were being overly critical. I remember you said on the pick six, you thought they had low energy. So
it's
I went
very
back,
low energy.
No, I went back and listened to it. See if you can pull it up, Jorge, the Natch on the pick six. I thought that was a good call.
Yeah.
I thought they did fine. But maybe if you're used to...
He likes the Manning cast.
I do like the Manning cast.
The Manning cast may change the way we all watch football.
Yeah.
For example, on Sundays, I only watch Sunday Ticket with Siciliano.
That's all I watch.
It has no
occasionally,
commercials.
Occasionally, if there's like one game that I care about, like if it's the Raider game, I will watch the Raider game, but I'm still flipping back and forth.
I really like Joe Buck. I really like Jim Nantz. I think Al Michaels is the best play-by-play announcer in the history of the sport. I think he's just fantastic. And he makes whoever he's working with. You know, Al's in his 70s now.
Yes, 77 years old.
And it's just, he doesn't miss a beat. He's you know who he is? He's Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Vin, when he was 77 or 78, was just on top of the world.
Yep.
And that's Al.
What I find amazing about Al is that he's 77.
And
he sounds as good and as prepared and as commanding as he ever did. And I always think about like where people are in their lives and what they want to be doing. Okay.
Right.
So most people who are 77, they want to work less, not more. Right. They just want to work a few events here and there, enjoy themselves, go on trips, go on vacations. Al is still out there hustling, man. He signed, I don't know how many years he signed for, but he'll work until he's 80 at least.
And he's just great. And I thought they got a great game for their first game. They'll get better as they go along. But this streaming thing, like what you went through, like the video freeze and stuff, is stuff we're going to have to get used to because I think Sunday Ticket's going to a streaming service, probably to Apple.
Yep.
Obviously Thursday nights from here on out are, now did you have problems finding the game?
No, not at all. Super easy.
Did your parents try and watch it?
No, my dad came to my house.
Okay. Because I was trying to explain to my mom, I go, Mom, you can watch tonight on Channel 11, but in the future, you've got to stream on Amazon Prime.
Right.
And I've just got a feeling I'm going to have to drive down there
every time and
show her how to do it.
No, it's really not hard.
She's pretty good once I show her how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I've got her on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I've got her on Hulu. I've got her, so I think that she's pretty good once they
I'm into new technology. I just want it to work right. And so therefore, if I was telling somebody what to go into for their job or profession, if you're looking to pivot in your life, I would become an audiovisual specialist or somebody who can like help wire people's homes for smart devices and phones and fixing things and TV, because that's where everything's going.
All right, here was the play that Greg thought was low energy. I thought it was a good call. This is the pick six as heard on Amazon.
Big guy to bring down. Again, quick tempo and picked off at the 1 yard line. That is Watson out in front. Sneed to protect him as well. All the way for the touchdown. Unreal.
Kind of hear the crowd there.
Wow, what a play here.
So, Greg, you thought that was low energy?
It was better than I thought. No, it was better. It was better than I thought. It was better than
you
I thought.
You too?
No, man. That's why I told you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Herb Street. Herb Street was very good.
He started
Herb Street
off
was
high.
Like, wow. Good. I mean, he didn't say much.
Yeah, I thought that was
solid. That was kind of my
but that's also
Herb
his
Street.
Point. Like, he's not supposed to say anything. Like, you're sitting next to Al Michaels. Shut up.
Right, but I mean,
you're being
next to John Ireland.
You hater. What's wrong with you?
No, I'll give you. I will actually come back and say that Al Michaels did have a good call.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy to admit I was right.
You got the Bergman vote. All right.
By the way, when we come back, I will have my full critique of the producer podcast that Greg Bergman appeared on. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I did. I saw it on Twitter.
I listened to it.
You actually listened?
I listened to all 13 minutes.
Wow.
And I will have a detailed response when we come back. And also, a story about the guy who made that pick six that you just saw that's great if Ooh. You didn't hear it last night. You know who's killing it in that Euro basketball tournament? Dennis Schroeder
Woo!
Had 19 first-half points today, and he's sitting out there. We'll talk about him when we talk about the Lakers later. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, 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 it's Mason in Ireland. Momo's in for Mace. And as I mentioned, Bergman appeared on something called the Producer Podcast, which... Greg, if people want to hear it, did you post it anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I did retweet it, but it's on the Barrett Sports Media.
Okay, so it's 13
That's
minutes.
That's a real thing, Barrett Sports Media. Yeah. I know about that.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Barrett Sports Media has named Mason in Ireland the number one midday talk show in America before. So a guy named Brady Farkas, who I know his mom. I went to college with high school with his mom. Interviewed Greg for 13 minutes. Bergman, how do you think you did?
I thought I did okay. I probably should have answered a couple of questions differently, but for the most part, I thought I did fine.
All right. I have a detailed response.
I'm not happy about this. This is not going well.
All right. Are you ready for it?
Yep.
My critique
yeah.
of your appearance on the Producer Podcast is I have no critique.
What do you mean?
I thought you were excellent.
Wow. Thank you.
I thought you answered all of the questions exactly how I would have answered the questions.
Wow. Well,
I'm surprised Sedano and Cap gave you any crap whatsoever.
Well, Sedano just likes to give crap. Yeah.
I thought that you did an excellent job. I would encourage people who want to know how the sausage is made around here to listen to this. It's only 13 minutes. What's your Twitter now? I know you when you got hacked, you changed it.
It's at Bergman Greg.
Okay. So it's at Bergman Greg if you want to see the link on it. And wow. And I thought you were great.
Thank you,
I thought
John.
You did
wow.
I thought you answered questions very honestly. I didn't think you were boring. I thought that...
I think 13 minutes is so perfect.
It is perfect, right?
Yeah. Like, I do these podcasts with people, and they'll go on and on. I'm like, who's listening to this long? Like, I wouldn't even listen to myself for this long.
I didn't go back and listen to it, by the way, so I have no idea what it sounds like.
I think if you did, you'd be very happy with how it came out.
How did you like the answer about you, though? Because it was asked specifically about you.
I thought it was honest. Greg and I have an interesting dynamic, because we're friends, and we like each other a lot, but we disagree on the basic tenets of sports radio. I want to have more guests, more calls. Yep. Greg doesn't want any guests or any calls. That's the simple breakdown.
Sure.
To be fair, you've kind of won the argument. What the show has evolved into is just Mason and I throwing stuff on a wall and goofing around. And we've done.
And when Greg's not here, we can take calls.
Yeah, we've done. Well, Greg will even play ball when he is here.
Yeah.
The question that they asked him about me was, all right, so how does Ireland stay in the loop? Like, how do you produce him? Because if he's doing Laker games, he can't watch everything.
Right.
And Greg's point was, well, what's interesting about John is he somehow does see most things because he doesn't sleep, but he doesn't, and this is very true about me, I never want to do the show before the show.
Yep.
It's one of my big pet peeves. Mason is the opposite.
Yep.
Mason wants to talk through with Greg everything. Like, they do an hour of talking through, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And if to me, it's like going to a movie.
Yep.
And then 2 hours later being asked to go to the movie again. You know, so I communicate almost strictly electronically. Like,
you also write everything out, and so that's your form. So, you know, there's actually several different ways that people learn. They are either auditory learners, visual learners, kinesthetic learners. So, in other words, do you remember things by reading them? Do you remember things by hearing them? Do you remember things by moving? Like, do you need to move?
When I was in high school and college, remember how you would have classes where you could have a cheat sheet?
Uh-huh.
And I mastered the art of really small penmanship, so I could fit a whole bunch of stuff on there. And I would spend hours working on a cheat sheet. And my cheat sheets were unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were like one page, and my teachers would look at it and go, I can't believe you got all that information. And you know what, Ramona? When the test started.
You already knew it. You didn't need it.
I didn't need the sheet.
You know why? Because you learned the writing of it is kinesthetic.
Right.
Okay? It's movement.
Yeah.
It's also visual, because you're seeing it.
Yeah, okay? And so when it would come up in a test, I go, oh, I just wrote that.
You remember it already, because you learned it two different ways. So when you're talking about prepping for a show or doing the show, some people need to talk it through. That's probably auditory, right? Like, that's an auditory learner that somebody needs to talk something through. You just read it.
Yeah. And
you write it. So that's now reading and writing.
The way I do things, even when I do games, and Greg, you know this, when I do the show, I always make a roadmap.
Yep.
And I always like go to the map when I need it. Mason's more of a wing it guy because he's already talked it all through.
Correct.
With me, I've said, okay, we haven't talked about this. We haven't talked about that. Speaking of things we haven't talked about. So I mentioned Jalen Watson. This is a great story. This was the kid who picked off, thank you, Jorge, who picked off Justin Herbert and ran the 99-yard pick six. Now, he is a seventh round draft pick.
This year?
Yeah, there are only seven rounds in the draft. He would not have been starting, except they had injuries and they had to throw him in there. And he had that whole stage, you know, the Amazon Prime stage. He spent 2 years at Ventura College.
Yeah, I know where that is.
And he wanted to go to USC, but he couldn't get the grades. His grades at Ventura College weren't good enough to get him into SC. So he had to move home to Augusta, Georgia, where the Masters is. But that's where he's from, because he didn't have the grades. So his mom was a manager at Wendy's, the fast food place. And so he needed something to do, so she made Jalen a line cook.
Wow.
And he was cooking hamburgers. This was like 3-4 years ago, all right? And he said, you get no breaks from your mom. You work, you're with your mom, you go home, you're with your mom, you don't even talk about work, it's just bad. I still love her, but she was tough on me. She didn't cut me any breaks. His mom was in the stands last night. Now, he didn't even think he was going to be in the NFL. Seventh round picks rarely make it. Not only does he make the team, they get injuries, he gets thrown in there, and all of a sudden he becomes the star that swings the game for Kansas City. I love stories like that. And that's why we were playing that clip the other day from the Emmys, from Cheryl Lee Ralph, where she said, don't ever give up on you. That's why. Because if you give up your dream, if you never know.
Yeah.
You never know what doors are going to open or how they're going to open. But if you give up, if you get off the train, mm-hmm. you never get the chance.
You never get a chance.
That Jalen had last night. By the way, he ended up, after he was at Augusta, working at Wendy's, he ended up going to Washington State. He could get into Washington State. And so he played there and stayed on the board until the seventh round and got the starting nod when their first round pick, a kid named Trent McDuffie, got hurt. And they told him on Monday that there was a good chance he was going to start, and he starts and comes with the play of the game, which I thought was just spectacular. Yeah, you just absolutely love that. So so good for Jalen. And I think the Chargers are still going to have a great season. That was just a very Chargers way to lose.
It was. It was just the thing. Well, first of all, it's in Kansas City, and it's probably 99% Chiefs fans, maybe 100%. Right. I didn't see any Charger fans there. They're probably used to not having a lot of their own fans because they're, you know, that's where they're, that's, they don't have any fans at SoFi, really,
right.
or many. But when you're a team that's like as good as they are, trying to knock their, like they beat the Raiders last week. That was a big win for them.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
They got to build off.
If Herbert's not seriously injured, they're going to be good. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Oh, it's an educational question. This is timely. You guys know who Max Homa is? He's a golfer.
Yeah.
Good golfer.
Yeah,
Southern
good.
California guy. Big Dodger
nope.
fan. Homa is the defending champ at this week's PGA event in Northern California. So as the defending champ, you have a press conference this week. And one of his playing partners is Michael Kim, who was his college roommate at Cal. So he's excited to see him again and play with him. And Homa completely threw Kim under the bus. This is like what any of us would do to like our, one of our best friends from college. He'll explain it a little bit, but Michael Kim is Korean, okay? Grew up there. And as Homa will explain, let's just say Michael had no business being in an introductory learn how to speak Korean class. Here's Max Homa kind of throwing his buddy under the bus.
So Michael moved to America from Korea when he was 12. So he speaks fluent Korean, and obviously I don't understand any Korean. It's quite complicated. So he did that, and then he's going to be so mad I'm telling people this. And then right after, he starts recording something on his phone, and it would be like me saying, like, I drove my car to the store in Korean. And I was like, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm in this Korean 101 class that I'm not supposed to know. I'm not supposed to be fluent in this. I'm like, you are so scummy.
All right, so he knew how to speak. He probably could speak Korean better than the teacher, but he needed credits, like we all did when we went to school. You needed courses that go towards you graduating.
Sure.
So here's the wheel, the question.
All right.
Momo, in your all your years in high school and at Stanford, what is the easiest class you ever took?
Everything was easy for me, John.
Oh,
no, I'm
please.
No, I'm so kidding.
Oh,
I'm so,
listen to you.
We're pulling that
okay,
now.
So when I was in high school, we used to do you had all these requirements that you had to take. But I was in student council, and our sixth period was always our sports class. So whatever, I was playing
whatever
softball.
Sport you're
yeah,
in,
I was
yeah.
playing basketball. I played soccer. I played all this. So that was sixth period, and student council was fifth period. So I really only had four classes that I could take, first through fourth period. And so I wasn't that into science. I just decided I'm going to take all of my real science classes in summer school.
Okay.
So I would go, and summer school is really for people who failed science.
Okay.
Like, it's not really.
So you found an easy science class.
And they're always, and it was basically like a couple hours a day, and I just got the whole year of biology and chemistry all done during summer school so that I could take student council and sports, fifth and sixth period, and like it was so easy. Like everyone was like, oh, biology is so hard. I'm like, not for me, it wasn't.
Taking
it was like the one for the kids
summer.
Who failed.
Yeah, taking the summer with all the sweat hogs. Bergman, easiest class you ever took?
It was in high school, and it was fine art. And all you had to do was just draw things, whatever you wanted to draw, you could draw.
Did you have an aptitude for drawing? Or?
No, not very much at all. So what I would do was ask the girl next to me to draw for me, and then I would turn it in, and that was the end of my class.
That's just blatant cheating.
No, it's not cheating. It's, you know, figuring out what good ways to do things.
Jorge, easiest class you ever took is what?
Spanish, high school and college.
You pulled the same thing that Michael Kim pulled.
Exactly.
So you took introductory Spanish when you'd been speaking it since you were a kid.
So my thing was like, I don't know where the accent goes kind of thing, but Spanish.
So for me, at UCLA, and I was very, very proficient at finding easy classes. People would come to me and go, Ireland, I need 4 units. What am I taking? I'd say, you're taking Music 170, Introduction to Jazz.
Okay.
And after you take that, take Music 171, Introduction to More Jazz. And those were easy classes. But the easiest class I ever took, Theater Arts 126A.
At UCLA?
At UCLA. Also known as sports casting.
Ah.
I was already running the campus radio station as the sports director. I walk in, and basically they teach you all assets. You learn how to be a cameraman. You learn how to write scripts. You learn how to direct. You learn how to go on camera. You learn how to do radio, blah, blah, blah. And after 3 days, the teacher says, Ireland, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. Because I was a senior. I was just taking units.
Did you say Ireland or John?
No, he said Ireland, which means I thought I was in trouble.
Yeah.
And Arthur Friedman, who's no longer with us, God rest his soul, who's a really like charismatic kind of fun theater arts professor. And he said to me, what are you doing in this class? I said, I love sports casting.
Yeah.
He goes, there isn't anything I've assigned you in these first few days that you couldn't do in your sleep. I said, how about this? I'll give you an A. You be my teacher's aide. TA. And you'll still get full credit, but this is a waste of your time. I need you to help the other students rather than embarrass them every day.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's very nice of you. I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I was the TA.
Yeah.
First thing, and I got an A.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
I mean, I took some classes that were supposed to be easy, but to me, like, easy isn't about like how high level the work is. It's about how much work am I going to have to do. And if the answer is like anything, that's not easy.
Right.
Just want to show up and take the test.
There was a class when I just needed needed units. There was a class called Physiology of Music, like what muscles you use to sing.
Wow.
And you could only take it pass-fail.
Oh, pass-fail's the greatest
thing
ever.
And the teacher was so nice, he wasn't going to fail anybody.
Yeah.
And we caught wind of that, and I think the whole fraternity took that class.
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievable. Did you have a test file? Like, did you ask people on your softball team to say that was another thing we did that was smart? Tell me if this is smart, if it's cheating. We told everybody, if you have a test, a midterm or a final, save the test and put it in the test file. So if you take that class a year from now, you'll know the types of questions that the teacher might ask. What we found was these teachers were lazy, man. They didn't change the midterm or the final. And so you basically had the playbook before you did it. Bergman, is that cheating or is that smart?
It's blatant cheating.
Oh, no.
It is as much cheating as me having somebody else do my work.
Well,
because it is doing your work.
This is the thing Mason always yelled at me. There were two basketball players who shall remain nameless because one of them is kind of famous.
Yeah.
Who were in my sociology class. And they would say, psst, Ireland, move your elbow. I'd move my elbow, and they'd see I'd gone A, B, C, A, B, B, C, A. They just copy my answers. And I'd turn in my test and I'd do well. And afterwards, they would pass. And somebody said to me, "That's John, you're cheating." I said, "I'm not cheating. They're cheating. Am I cheating in that scenario?"
Yes. Technically, you'd go down for that too.
But all I did was...
I know, but you knew what was happening.
But I'd rather be a snitch. Yeah. No. And if I move my elbow, then they wouldn't let me do any more of the basketball games because I'm screwing the basketball players.
Look.
What's that mean?
That means that you're a snitch.
Yeah, I wasn't a snitch.
That's what I'm saying. You're not a snitch. Yeah. Smart.
Mason says he would have reported him.
I wouldn't have reported him. I would have probably moved seats. I would have probably moved seats or something so it couldn't happen.
Oh, all right. So we got something coming up I got to tell you guys about. So at last count, I just got three more today. Michael Thompson has sent me 26 videos.
Oh my God.
From the Lakers Showtime reunion trip in Maui. They're over there now, and all the Showtime Lakers are there. Kareem, Magic, Worthy, Michael, Byron, Pat Riley, they are all there. This looks like the absolute trip of a lifetime. I mean, every time he sends me a video, I went, this trip is unbelievable. And so, coming up next, Michael will join us from Hawaii for the latest on the show. And this is a trip he didn't even want to go on. He had to be talked into it by Pat Riley and Magic. And my sense is he's incredibly happy that he decided to go. So Michael will join us from Hawaii coming up next. Reminder, we're celebrating National Cheeseburger Day, and we want you to score for the football season. Here's how to win. Listen and win every hour. We're doing this right now, Greg?
Yes, we are.
Okay, call 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776, and caller number 7 wins a $50 gift card to Ralph's plus a Meat District party pack of butcher-crafted premium burgers.
I just ate one. It's super good.
For tailgate season, Meat District burgers, perfect for your next tailgate party. All right, so call through, ring through on that. Bergman's opening the phones right now, 877-710-3776. If you're the seventh caller, you win. And Michael joins us from Hawaii next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.